Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Be Still and Run. I am super excited to be sharing this episode with you guys. I have been dealing with depression on and off throughout the years. There was a particular part of my life that was very stressful, and I actually remember having a panic attack one time to where I thought I was going to pass out, and I actually had to lay on the ground. And that does play a big role in depression. Depression and anxiety, I think, with stress, all go hand in hand. And so in this episode, I sort of share how depression is hopelessness and how we can get out of it, or how I got out of it, in hopes that maybe it will help you guys. And as a disclaimer, depression can be a medical situation and you may need to see a doctor, and I'm not claiming to be able to help with health issues. So I just want to talk more about feelings of hopelessness, and in hopes that maybe it will help you guys. So I hope you enjoy. Hey y'all, and welcome back to another episode of Be Still and Run. I have been kind of hesitant as to whether I wanted to share this podcast or not, just because I feel like I don't have that much experience in it. But I feel like the little bit I have, I wanted to share some of the things that have helped me, and you can also use it for anxiety and anything else that just brings us down and makes us feel low in our life. So I wanted to start out with, what is depression? And I sort of researched what the medical field said depression is. And a lot of times, it's hopelessness. And you can see that in the Bible too, where in Psalm 42, verse 5, it says, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance." And then he actually goes on to verse 11 to say almost the same exact thing. And then in the next chapter, he says it again. And when we are depressed, unless it is a medical condition, we are really living without hope. Jeremiah 18:12 says, "And they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart." So hopelessness, if you can imagine it, is not a happy place to be. We have really no reason to be alive. We have no motivation to do anything. A lot of times when people are depressed, they will lose interest in the things that they normally enjoy. And I sort of tried to trace back through looking at the scriptures and looking at my own life, where depression, which is hopelessness, where that starts out as. And I really felt like it went down to, we have a disillusion of who God really is. It's like we see God through the lenses of how other people treat us or how we feel about ourselves. We don't actually know who God is. We have, you know, the Bible to tell us, but it's sort of like reading a book while your mind is somewhere else. We're not actually reading it. We're just kind of going over the words like we always have. and we're not actually getting it into our heart and really, really just focusing on who he is. I know I had a lot of lies about who God was, and one of the big ones was I felt like he was always just sitting up in heaven, just staring down at me, not saying anything, not doing anything, and like Jesus was trying to always get me to the Father. And I didn't necessarily want to go to the Father because I felt like he didn't care about me. And so Jesus had to take me to the realization that him and the Father are the same. And it says that, he says that in the Gospels a lot of times. If I'm not mistaken, it's in John 16, if I can find it here really quick. Oh, that's Luke. It's John 16 was where I realized the truth. And it says, at that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. And when I read that, I felt like it finally clicked in my heart and that God loved me just as much as Jesus did. And I didn't realize at the time that that was a lie. And I know Jesus and the Father are one with the Holy Spirit, but they are also three different, I don't know what you would call it, but they're three in one. They all think and act the same. And so then there's also fears you can have. And I had the wrong fear for a long time of that I wouldn't be able to hear God and that my relationship with him was based off of what I did. So his love for me was kind of based off of how much I was in a relationship with him or how much I was doing for him. And that really messed me up for a long time. And it wasn't until he showed me that he loved me before I came to him. He loved me before I was even created. He loved me in my sin. And I had read that so many times, and yet it wasn't really in my heart because I had this fear and this lie. And so I really believe that our hopelessness comes from lies and fears that we have of who God is and even who we are. I mean, I never really realized who we were in Christ until I did a devotional by Priscilla Shire. I think it was called Defined. I did it with a group of girls, and I never really realized who I was, who God saw me as, and that was a huge eye-opener. So that was the first thing I wanted to share. And then the next one was, why hope? What do we as Christians have a hope in? This I really struggled with for a long time. I thought hope was based on salvation alone. So we have a hope that when we die, Jesus will go before the Father and plead us guilty and we'll get to live in heaven forever. But God started showing me that hope was also in the promises that are all throughout the Bible, promises of blessing and joy and peace. And I mean, there's so many. I mean, there's even some of safety and the ones that he'll lead us. And one of the hardest ones I have had a hard time with is believing Psalm 37:4 of, if I know I'm delighting myself in Christ, then he will give me the desires of my heart. That has been a very hard one for me, just simply because I feel like I have another lie again of God's ways are going to be ways that I don't like, that I don't want to follow, and he doesn't want to give me what I truly desire, what I truly want. And that was always a struggle, mainly because some of my desires were never brought to pass. And he did show me, he did take me to the depths of my heart to show me what I truly was desiring. And I realized that what I thought it was actually totally opposite of what I really wanted. It was sort of like a Band-Aid. And so just clinging to promises of God, choosing to believe, our feelings are going to deceive us a lot of times. When I had talked about intuitiveness, following your feelings is not one of the things I would recommend in doing. God created our bodies to tell us what we need, and he created our souls to tell us what we need. So when I was talking about being intuitive with your feelings, it was more of going to God and saying, why do I feel this way? What is it that I truly need and what I truly desire, not what I think I need? So I guess as long as you use your feelings correctly, you can be intuitive in your feelings. But even when you don't have feelings of hope, and you don't really feel like you're loved, and you don't really feel like believing the truth, you don't really feel like the truth is actually truth, then it's time that we have to choose to believe the truth. We have to choose to rely on him, and just claiming those promises and saying, God, I choose to believe your word. I'm going to trust you. And trust has a lot. It has a lot to do with our hope, because how many times in the Bible does it say, trust him? Leave it all in his hands, cast your cares upon him, take your burden to him and leave it there, and just to trust him, to just lay everything before him and really focus on him. And I believe that's where our hope will come is, what is that song? That if you keep your face upon him, everything else will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And that phrase has always stood out to me. And if we can keep our eyes on Christ, like David said, why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. And I always wondered what that meant. And it's trusting him. It's trusting him to keep his word, to be faithful to who he is. And the one good thing about following Christ and keeping your eyes on him is that he's never changing. So if you've ever been around people who change their mind a lot or don't follow up, God is not like that. When he says something, he is going to bring it to pass. And he doesn't expect you to wait for him to change his mind. Now, we may hear him wrong, or we may interpret scripture wrong, which, as you grow closer in your relationship with him, that will be less. But you can follow him down the wrong path because of fears or lies. And you may think that he's leading you somewhere, but later on in life, you'll realize that he was actually leading you somewhere else. But because of all the voices around you, all the voices inside of you, even, they can make you think that God is leading you somewhere when he's really not. So we need to realize that depression is in our souls, which is home to our feelings, our mind, our thoughts, our desires, just the seat of who we really are. And I don't know why I don't have this verse written down. Let me see if it's on here, but it talks about hope being the anchor to our souls. And if we can get an anchor on something that's solid, which would be Christ, it could totally change just when something comes along. You're not going to be taken from your firm foundation. Of course, like when you see a ship who has their anchor down, they're still rocking and they're still moving, going through the storm, but they're stationed and they're unmoving. And so then when that storm is over, they will have lost nothing. They will have stayed in the position that God had them at before, so that they can then move on and continue where they were going. I actually don't have it written down. Oh, here it is. Hebrews 6:17-20. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to shew unto the heirs of promise the immutable of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, which the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I know there's a lot of big words in there. So if I'm not mistaken, the immutable meant unchanging, true. I can't remember exactly. So what it's saying is his promises are unchanging, his counsel is unchanging, and it's impossible for God to lie. And so then therefore we have a hope that we can set our anchor on, so that we can be sure and steadfast and follow Christ. And just keep pushing forward, even when times get hard. And I guess I did say we were going to go over why hope is so important. Well, I guess if you kind of look at where we came from, depression, that's sort of what you're avoiding. You're avoiding being rocked back and forth. You're avoiding feelings that are kind of undesirable, like sadness and Not saying you're not going to be sad if something happens, but you're going to have this peace inside of you that is unchanging, that is unwavering, because you know you have a home in heaven. You're going to be beside your Savior and your Father in heaven. And so I really had this on my heart just because I have dealt with slight depression. I do try hide it from people as much as possible, but it is shown in how I react. I've noticed that I do treat people wrong when I dwell on hopeless things or when I dwell on lies or fears. And I would have never pinpointed that that was depression. I mean, sometimes I would not want to get out of bed. I love running, and I would just lay in bed and think, I don't really want to run today. And there's been a couple times where I didn't feel like eating, and I love eating. I love food. So yeah, there has been some times that I do feel depressed and I do fall into hopelessness. And sometimes it lasts for a few minutes, sometimes it lasts for days. And the thing that quickly gets me out of it is to start thanking God for things, to start praising Him and reminding myself of who He is, of thanking Him for what He's given me, thanking Him for just whatever I see, just purposing to get my mind off of myself and onto Christ, and it works every time. So I really encourage you guys, if you ever get feelings of depression, to just get your eyes off of yourself and focus on Christ. And if you are a Christian, you have the promises of God that you can cling to, that you can follow, that you can live in joy. Though this has been something God has been showing me. Just like salvation is not pushed on people, He doesn't force us. I know Christians, sometimes we can try to force salvation on people, but God does not do that. God does not force salvation on people. He doesn't come down and point a finger in your face and say, "You need to get saved. You need to follow me. You need to choose me." No, He gently leads you and sets things in front of you, hoping that you'll choose Him. And I forget where I was going with that. So we just need to realize that even gifts of God are choices. He says so many times. We just need to choose. And ask, and it just surprises me so much of how many blessings God wants to pour out on us, but we don't ask and we don't seek Him and we don't look for them. And I had a friend, he said that there is no harm in asking. And he would ask people things, and God would grant him his requests through people. And it always just shocked me till I started asking Him for things and then leaving it in His hands. That is the biggest thing, is the verse that God has been working on in me is Psalm 37:4, and it's, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And then after that, it says, commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall give thee and he shall bring it to pass. Sorry, I was quoting that. I got that all messed up. So what he's saying is, when we're delighting ourselves in him, we're going to have desires. He's going to put his desires in our heart. And I even asked him that. I was like, Lord, I need you to put your desires in my heart and take mine away, because I don't just want to roam about life wondering what I'm supposed to be doing. I need your desires. And so then the tricky part for me has been to commit my way unto him and trust in him to keep his promise, to fulfill what he has said he was going to do. And so that is also part of keeping his promises, is keeping his promises. Wow, my mind is going all over the place, guys. So sorry. So committing our way unto him and trusting him and not living in anxiety, but just telling him everything, thanking him, and just being honest with him, but then choosing to trust him. And then when he does bring us to different paths or different choices, then we need to seek him and choose the right way, choose his gift. And if you decide not to choose him, you can very easily slip into feelings of depression. You can very easily, your hope will start dwindling. Just like in running, if you don't keep running, your fitness is going to start declining. I think it's 7 to 10 days, your fitness that you have built up will start declining. And running is the same, running the Christian life is the same way. So if we don't keep following Christ, if we don't keep pushing, keep hoping in him, it will start dwindling. And sometimes that 7 to 10 days does more damage than we realize, because now we're farther from Christ, we can't hear him, and more likely than not, we've probably grieved the Spirit some, and so then we're not as in tune with him. It just keeps going downhill, trust me. I'm sure you've experienced it in your own life. So a big part of overcoming depression is trusting him and choosing to trust him, choosing to do what's right, and choosing to hope in him, choosing to cling to his promises. And I guarantee that you will start digging your way out of the hole. And I mean, sometimes he can even reach his hand down into a hole and pull you up, and you don't even have to get your way out. He just takes you out. That is always so much easier. So yeah, I love you guys, and I'm praying for you, praying that God would do a work in your heart and draw you closer to him in relationship, and I will see you next week. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Be Still and Run, where we talk about living the Christian life from a runner's perspective. And I apologize for not talking as much about running as I would like to. I know sometimes I can get a little caught up in just sharing different examples from life instead of more focusing on what I originally created this podcast to be, which was comparing the physical with the spiritual running. And so I will try to do more of that in the future. But thank you anyway for listening. Thank you guys for hanging with me and for following. And I will see you next time. You guys have a wonderful weekend.